Welcome to Grand Rapids Daily. Before we get into today's news, we have a severe weather alert that you need to know about if you live in West Michigan.
That's right. If you have outdoor plans this weekend, you need to prepare for heavy rainfall. The National Weather Service is forecasting a 99 to 100% chance of rain starting Saturday morning at 6 a.m. and continuing straight through noon.
It is currently a very pleasant 56 degrees with clear skies here in Grand Rapids, and we'll see highs around 70 today. But that system moving in on Saturday is practically guaranteed to soak the region.
Given the severe storms and power outages we had earlier this week, it's a good idea to stay alert. While we aren't currently under a severe watch for Saturday, the sheer volume of steady, heavy rain could cause localized pooling on the roads.
Exactly. And with the Electric Forest Music Festival coming up next week, just up the road, this much rain could make the grounds incredibly muddy for attendees setting up. We will keep an eye on how that develops.
For now, enjoy the clear skies today and Friday evening. Let's get into today's stories. We're looking at a major debate over a new downtown transit center and Kent County's urgent push to tackle rising childcare costs.
Our first story today takes us to City Hall, where the Grand Rapids City Council is locked in a debate over a proposed $15 million downtown transit center. This project has been in the conceptual phase for a couple of years, but the latest funding proposal has really brought the arguments to the forefront.
The core of the proposal, spearheaded by The Rapid, involves consolidating several of the high-traffic bus routes into a centralized hub near the Arena District. Proponents argue that the current decentralized model creates unnecessary delays and makes transfers confusing for daily commuters. The $15 million price tag would cover land acquisition, the construction of the terminal, and upgraded pedestrian infrastructure in the surrounding blocks.
Right, and city officials are pointing to long-term growth. They argue that as Grand Rapids continues to densify, especially with the new housing developments we've covered recently, a modern transit hub is essential. The Rapids leadership stated in the brief that this center would reduce average transfer times by up to 12 minutes, which is a massive quality of life improvement for residents who rely on public transit to get to work.
But the proposal is facing steep resistance from a coalition of downtown business owners. Their primary concern isn't necessarily the transit center itself, but the location and the construction timeline. The proposed site would eliminate roughly 200 existing surface parking spaces. Critics argue that losing that parking, combined with an estimated 18 months of construction, could devastate foot traffic for nearby retail and restaurants. And we saw similar concerns during the construction of the Silver Line and the Laker Line. The Downtown Development Authority has acknowledged these concerns, suggesting that some of the $15 million could be diverted to subsidize parking in nearby ramps during the construction phase. However, the business coalition says that isn't enough, pointing out that ramp parking doesn't offer the same convenience for quick-stop retail customers. There's also a funding mechanism debate. The city is hoping to secure an $8 million federal infrastructure grant to cover more than half the cost, with the remaining $7 million split between city coffers and the Rapids capital budget. But if that federal grant falls through, the city council hasn't clarified whether they would shelve the project or ask local taxpayers to shoulder the burden. That's a massive caveat. Ward 2 commissioners specifically raised red flags about moving forward with property acquisition before the federal grant is officially secured. They are calling for a delayed vote, pushing it to late August, to ensure the city isn't left holding the bag on a multi-million dollar land purchase.
It's a classic urban development tension. On one hand, you have transit advocates and environmental groups who say this is a necessary step to reduce downtown emissions and improve equity for non-drivers. On the other hand, you have small businesses operating on thin margins who are terrified of an 18-month disruption. The council's expected to hold a public hearing next Tuesday, and it's likely to be a packed house.
Moving to our next deep dive, Kent County officials have officially launched a new task force aimed at what they are calling a crisis in early childhood education and care. The county announced the formation of a 20-member committee tasked with finding actionable solutions to the soaring cost and limited availability of childcare in West Michigan.
The numbers driving this initiative are frankly staggering. According to the county's initial research brief, the average cost of infant care in Kent County has surpassed $12,000 a year. For a family with two young children, that often exceeds their annual mortgage payments. And that's if they can even find a spot. The wait lists for licensed facilities in the Grand Rapids metro area are currently averaging 8 to 12 months.
Which means many parents are putting their names on wait lists before their child is even born. The task force is comprised of county commissioners, local business executives, early childhood educators, and representatives from First Steps Kent. Their mandate isn't just to study the problem. We already know what the problem is, but to propose structural funding changes and zoning updates within the next 90 days.
One of the most interesting angles here is the heavy involvement of the business community. We are seeing groups like the Grand Rapids Chamber of Commerce treating childcare not just as a family issue, but as a critical workforce retention issue. Employers are reporting that they are losing talented staff, particularly women, simply because the math of paying for childcare versus staying home no longer makes sense for working families.
Exactly. When a parent has to drop out of the workforce, it shrinks the local labor pool and impacts economic growth. One of the proposals already being floated by the task force is a public-private partnership model. This would involve the county offering tax incentives to large employers who build on-site childcare facilities or who subsidize the cost of care for their employees at local centers.
Another major hurdle the task force has to address is the regulatory side. Childcare operates on incredibly thin margins. Providers are required to maintain strict staff-to-child ratios, which is entirely appropriate for safety, but it means they can't simply take on more kids to increase revenue. Furthermore, the average childcare worker in Kent County makes just over $14 an hour, leading to massive turnover in the industry. You can't expand capacity if you can't hire staff, and you can't hire staff if you can't pay them a living wage. It's a vicious cycle. The task force is reportedly looking into a county-level wage supplement program, similar to what was temporarily implemented during the pandemic with federal relief funds. The challenge, of course, is figuring out how to fund a permanent wage supplement without drastically raising property taxes.
They are also looking at zoning reforms. Right now, starting an in-home daycare in certain residential zones in Kent County requires navigating a maze of special use permits that can take months and cost thousands of dollars in fees. Streamlining that process to encourage more neighborhood-level micro-daycares is seen as some low-hanging fruit the county could act on immediately.
All right, those are some heavy issues for local leaders to sort through. Let's pivot and hit a few more stories from around West Michigan real quick.
Sounds good. We've got updates on local arts, conservation efforts, and some sports news to round out the day.
The Grand Rapids Public Museum has announced a new permanent exhibit focused entirely on the history and culture of the Anishinaabe people. This is a big deal. The museum spent the last 3 years developing it in direct collaboration with local tribal leaders to ensure historical accuracy and cultural respect. It officially opens to the public next month. In entertainment news, the highly anticipated Frederick Meyer Gardens summer concert series officially kicks off this weekend. The lineup is absolutely stacked this year with national touring acts. Just a quick tip for anyone going, get there early if you want to claim a good spot on the terraced lawn, because these shows sell out fast. Over in Lansing, state lawmakers are pushing a new bipartisan bill that would increase funding for Great Lakes conservation efforts by $50 million.
The money would specifically target combating invasive species and reducing agricultural runoff into the watershed. It has strong support from West Michigan representatives, so we'll see if it makes it to the governor's desk before the recess.
Finally, for local hockey fans, the Grand Rapids Griffins have just dropped their preseason schedule. Training camp starts up in September, and they've scheduled two exhibition games at Van Andel Arena to give fans an early look at the roster before the regular season begins.
That is going to do it for us today on Grand Rapids Daily. Thank you so much for tuning in and starting your morning with us.
As a reminder, please stay weather aware this Saturday morning with that heavy rain moving into the area. If you want to read more about any of the stories we covered today, check out the links in our show notes.
We will be back tomorrow with more news from across West Michigan. Have a great day and stay dry out there.